He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. Julian Council Executive Producing. It's Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Happy Monday morning, everybody. As you head on into work this morning, we are going to get you all set and all caught up. Obviously, you heard in the update, there's some new names for me to mess up. New names for me to butcher in the
I think you did a wonderful job there.
Thank you. Thank you. I came in this morning.
Actually, a perfect job.
I asked Buck Rising. I said, Buck, help me. How do you pronounce this guy's name? And he said, Willie said Eli Tolvanen. And if Willie says it, I say it. So Eli Tolvanen is what we're going to go with until about 350 of you correct me on social media. So we'll go with Eli Tolvanen. He is the first-round pick of your Nashville Predators, picked 30th overall in a time when we thought that the draft might be full of trades, in a time when we thought the Preds might make a move. They did not make a move other than the fact that they stayed put, they stayed calm, and they drafted what some are calling the steal of the first round, an unexpected fall for Eli Tolvanen, a forward that on projections was listed as a top 10 North American skater going into the draft, falls all the way to 30th. The Preds take advantage of it. They add some offensive firepower.
Yeah, I saw there's lots of different ranking services out there, so it's sort of like the NFL draft when you see McShay and Kuiper and then like 36 other websites. You kind of just have to take it for what it's worth. I think Sports Illustrated had him at the top five player in the entire draft. I think ESPN, which is the one I'll just go with and trust, had him at number 7 overall. So I tweeted out the ESPN had a great breakdown of the top 100 prospects and like a couple of long paragraphs about him. And apparently, you know, has a little James Neal to his game if you start looking at the breakdown. I mean, great shooter, puts a ton of pucks on net, plays the wing, certainly needs to develop some size. He's not necessarily a huge kid. I want to say, 5'11", 185, I think is what he's listed at. So not a huge guy, but a guy that just fires pucks on the net and has got a great shot on the move and is a great skater. So there's – you know, listen, we would all be lying to you if we thought we could tell you what this kid was going to be or a comp or whatever. But when most NHL experts are telling you you're getting roughly a top 10 to 12 player at 30th overall, hey, you've done a pretty good job. I think people were excited about that. And a goal-scoring option on offense, pretty excited about that too. So who knows when he'll show up? Some NHL rookies can play at 18, 19, 20 years old. We've seen Kevin Fiala and we've seen – some of these other guys come up and play really at really, really young ages, 2 or 3 years from now, not out of the question.
Well, and it's interesting. Corey Praman, ESPN, going to join us next hour. And Corey had some kind words, called it the steal of the first round, also said one of the best scorers, goal scorers in the class, and a player who becomes their clear top forward prospect. So according to Corey, he is immediately the number one
ahead of
forward.
Kamenev, huh?
That's what he's saying. So
interesting.
Also, he also notes that it had been his intent to go over to Boston College, but I don't think that's going to work out. So there is the potential that he's going to go straight into the AHL. So we'll talk some more next hour and get some more breakdown from Corey Praman over at ESPN. He's going to join us at 7:30. But
very exciting.
The verbiage on it, I mean, as much as we've been talking about Kamenev, here's somebody right out of the gate that's saying, hey, this guy becomes your clear-cut top scoring prospect, top forward prospect. So really
exciting. I hope that's not a knock on Kamenev because we need a center.
right. But clearly people are excited about this particular pick. And I'll tell you, the second round, I was excited just because I get to say Grant Mismash as often as possible. That is a fun name. That's
yeah,
all I
and,
have to say
and
about
from
that.
What I'm reading about him is he's a little bit more of a two-way centerman, got that defensive thing in his game. So does that sound like anybody else on the roster, Colton Sissons or Cali Yarncroak? So it sounds like he's got some work to do on the offensive skill and that kind of stuff. He's not a true shooter or scorer like Tolvanen is, but a guy that kind of can play both ways and one of those two-way centerman types that could end up being a second or third line center. So some depth at that position, I think, is what that feels like with him. And the number of tweets I got for the third pick was really interesting. Everybody was tweeting me just going, watch out for this kid. He's going to be a star. And does anybody know how to say his name? Ferentz? Because he is cut from the identical mold that David Poile has drafted on the defensive side of the team. He's a great skater that pushes the tempo on offense, that moves the puck up on offense, that likes being in the rush on offense, sometimes takes too many chances and needs to learn some defense. That's basically the type of defenseman that David Poile has made a living finding and drafting. So I had a lot of people tweeting me on the third round pick, basically saying, hey, keep an eye on this guy. He's going to be in the NHL very soon. And I was like, okay, all right, okay. They have four pretty good defensemen right now.
Well, and it's just an interesting – it was an interesting depth for draft for a couple of reasons. One, there weren't a lot of moves. And two, it felt like they did a nice job of addressing needs but also addressing depth. It's just like we always talk about in the NFL draft, like how do you find that balance between the two? Yet again, David Poile finds it. Stat on Tolvanen, and everybody should know the first-round pick. He's out of Finland. 30 goals, 54 points for the Musketeers last season, which would be the Sioux City Musketeers of the United States Hockey League.
So two guys from the United States and a Finn. That sounds about right also.
Yeah, I mean.
That sounds like David Poile doing work there.
It's obvious. Like, I'm wondering if they're just hanging Preds banners now all over Finland.
Sweden.
Yeah, Finland and Sweden. It feels like there's a good amount of Preds pride there. It's just got to happen because it seems to be where they get these guys from. Again, we stressed it before, and I'm not going to talk out of both sides of my mouth. The fact is, we can't sit here on Friday and tell you, hey, the draft isn't going to make immediate dividends, and then tell you today, wow, whoopee. Let's face it, there's going to be a patience process. Like, that's what's different about the NHL draft than the NFL draft or the NBA draft, for example. This is a matter of these guys are going to come in the system. They're going to have to grow a little bit. They're going to bounce back and forth between the AHL and the pros at some point, and then you're going to hope that they stick, and it could be a three-year process to get there.
And you and I are we've never seen them play in real life. We've never scouted them. So what we do is we let people smarter than us that know about this stuff give us our opinion. And for, again, the story for me is almost across the board, the number one pick here, Tolvanen, is widely regarded as a great pick. And a lot of people love the third round pick. So I haven't read as much about the second round pick in Mishmash. Not as much like overt analysis from experts right out of the gate about him, but the first pick and the third pick, a lot of experts out there saying, man, they got a really good deal on this pick. They've got a steal on this pick. This guy could be really good. So when experts are saying that, that's basically, I mean, we're basing our opinions almost entirely off what they're saying because you and I have yet to go scout these players in person, Fitzy.
Right.
That would be hard to do.
And again, I'll use it as many times as we want to go watch hockey in Sioux City. We just haven't had the time.
It's a booming metropolis.
I will use, again, Mine Smarter Than Ours. ESPN put up an article, Winners and Losers, afterwards. It was based on the opinion of several of the scouting services, and on the winners list, right at the top, obviously, the Nashville Predators. So the conversation obviously has been a good one, a positive one. David Poile talked a little bit about Tolvanen and what he saw there, and we'll let you hear that. This is David Poile talking about that.
I think we are. I mean, our scouts got a lot of confidence in them. Jeff Kelty does a really good job. He knows exactly what we need and what we want to get. I think we've worked together for so many years that we know the types of players that we draft, and our scouts do a good job. I really feel on the first pick and Tolvanen that in our minds, we got very, very fortunate, you know, being 30th pick. That's a player that we've had in our top 10 all year long. And I've looked at a lot of different other lists that come out and just, you know, reading and all. To me, nobody ever had him lower than like 20th in the draft. So to me, I feel very fortunate because it's really the type of player that we're looking for. He's a fast winger that has got an unbelievable release and he can score goals. I mean, that's the type of player we've been looking for, trying to add to our lineup in the last, three or four drafts, these offensive players. And I think we got a really good one there in our first pick.
So Jeremy Gover, big hat tip to Jeremy Gover, did a great job up at Chicago on the Game Nashville website, has a breakdown scouting report from like 10 or 12 services on every one of these players. Did a great job putting it all together. So he's got like, and again, I don't even know all these names, but like McKean, ISS, The Hockey News, Future Considerations, Bob McKenzie from TSN, Sports Illustrated, Dan Freeman. You got the scout. I mean, all these different websites that rank these prospects, right? He compiled all of them into one location, and you can see I'm looking at this list. He's 11th by one service, 11th by another service, 8th by another service, 15th, 17th, 4th. A unanimous top 20 player, essentially, by almost every recruiting and scouting service. So, and he did this, Jeremy Gover did this for every single prospect that was drafted. So you can go through real quickly and read each one of their scouting reports about each one of these players. That would be where I would go if you want to go kind of read a little bit more about these guys and who they are and what they are and what they're good at, what they're bad at, that kind of stuff. If you want to dive deeper into the scouting reports, Gover did a great job about kind of putting together these rankings groups. The mismatch kid, most everybody has him as a top 50 player, a few as high as I've seen 24. So, again, this is purely just big board stuff here, right? We're going, hey, this is where this guy's ranked. And then the France kid, that guy, he is almost across the board a top 100 pick, if not a top 50 pick. So they got overvalue at every spot, it seems like, according to the experts.
The Preds stayed patient. One of their biggest rivals over the weekend may not have done the same. We'll break down the different approaches. We'll do that next up. Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Want to go to the 2017 ESPYs? You know, fly to L.A., walk the red carpet, go to the big party. How about going as the guest of this year's host, Peyton Manning? Make a donation to the V Foundation for Cancer Research of as little as $20, and you can win an incredible ESPYs trip and the chance to meet Peyton at a rehearsal before the show. Go to ebay.com/ESPN to donate. It was ebay.com/ESPN to donate, and then you get your chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends Thursday, June 29th. Go to ebay.com/ESPN for the chance to win. And if you win, send us all the pictures because it's going to be a blast. So it's interesting because one of the things we talked about over the weekend is how would the Preds go into draft and how would the Preds go into the cycle, and would David Poyle's approach change because of the window of opportunity that the team appears to be in. And we thought that the draft might begin to give an indication. Now, over the weekend, there were a lot of transactions that happened. For example, TJ Oshie decided to stay home. So TJ Oshie re-signed with the Washington No Capitals. So he decided he never wants to win a cup, but he wants – and frankly, he signed at a fairly reasonable – I think it was $5.5 million a year. So less than I would have expected for TJ Oshie. So that went off the board if you had that in your mindset of how the Preds would quickly address a need. But even going into the draft, I was thinking to myself, does this make the Preds a bigger player? Are we going to see them overpay in this situation to get Matt Duchene after all the rumors we heard last week? No trades were made that impacted any player. The Preds just sort of stayed put, and they did what they do. And that's interesting to me because that's not the same approach in Chicago. And after we went off the air on Friday, I was listening to 3D.
Yeah, all hell break.
I was cracking up as I was driving away because Darren McFarland every 3 minutes was like, what are they doing in Chicago? And, you know, if you missed it, obviously Chicago trades a couple of big stars, a couple of names that everybody knows. And in the process of it, there's at least the perception. There was a tweet running around that somebody on a national level tweeted out essentially saying, thanks Pecorine for scaring the Blackhawks so much that they're just blowing the whole thing up. So I don't know. We were talking about it off air. I don't know that you can say that the Blackhawks have necessarily blown everything up. I think that you can just say that they've made a lot of drastic transactions. What that means, we'll find out.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. They still have Taves, Kane, Keith, Crawford, Anisimov. I mean, they're still very much maybe the most talented team in the division still. But they did trade away one of their best defensemen, probably their second best defenseman, in Nicholas Hjalmarsson. They traded him to Arizona, and then they traded Artemi Panarin, who's one of their top scorers, finished second on their points line, but played with Patrick Kane. They've been trying to find somebody to play with Jonathan Taves on the top line. And going and getting Brandon Saad, the player that was traded for, again, the reason of that is he's under contract for 5 or 6 years. Panarin's contract will come up in a couple of years. There's more offensive upside in Panarin, but Brandon Saad's a better two-way player. And if you'll remember, Predators fans will remember, he just sort of sniped him to death 2 years ago in that 2015 series. He was just unstoppable. So they'll add a wingmate to Jonathan Taves' line, which was the problem against the Predators. I mean, that first line got smoked by Jofa. I mean, that was one of their big problems. So, they've fired some assistant coaches as well. So, I think the outward perception is they've got to have a big shakeup. And I think more than that, it's just hey, they've got some salary issues in the next 2 to 3 years that they need to address. They're trying to get ahead of that. And if it means they got to shake some things up, then that's good for the Nashville Predators. So.
Well, and you mentioned all those losses, but we also can't forget the fact that Marian Hossa is out for the year also. So
right.
I don't see how today I can find an argument that the Blackhawks are a better team today than we than they were when we were on the air Friday morning. So that's the interesting.
That's fair.
I mean, so to me.
If you're including Hossa in that, then I think if you take Panarin, Hossa, and Hjalmarsson off the team. Sure. I mean, I think Saad's a really good pickup, but I think that they're.
But I don't think Saad's a better player than Panarin, frankly. So.
No, but like he's a better two. Again, it's all about, you know, we can get deep into the weeds on that. He's a better two-way player, better defensive player, but, you know, Panarin's a better scorer. So what is it that they're. Like, they clearly needed more defense, I mean, against Nashville. They got smoked in that department. So trading with a defenseman is actually the bigger story for me.
I agree with that.
Because I think that's their bigger weakness. And so getting rid of one of your defensemen. To basically get back, you know, what'd they get back in that deal? They like Forsberg, a guy named Forsberg, a fifth round. Like they didn't get a whole lot back in that trade. That one didn't make as much sense.
The line from a Chicago Tribune headline article that we were reading earlier that I think is great. It says, referring to Bowman, the GM in Chicago, said was so busy you wonder if he took the time to tell Coach Joel Quenneville he was trading away his best defensive player and a top 10 scorer. So. That's what they did. They traded in the eyes of the Tribune. They traded away two key pieces.
Yeah.
I don't see how you can trade those two key pieces back, get Saad in return, and feel better about the Blackhawks. So it's interesting.
And lose Hossa.
I think that's on top of all of that. So it is interesting because the balance of power in the Central, we had somebody on a couple of days ago that was talking about how tightly packed the Central will be. And when you talk about the balance of power at this point, you have to look at it and say, if one player here or there, we made the argument Friday, one acquisition can make all the difference. We made that argument, but in that process, now we've seen, you know, the opposite side of it. It has to make a difference. We did hear a little bit, obviously, from David Poile over the course of the weekend about their decision. And I really it was key to me that they stayed calm. And part of the reason they stayed calm is because they know what drives this team. This is David Poile talking about that very thing.
They played spectacular this year, and especially in the playoffs. They're our core. I mean, you talk about why you win games. I think the defense drives our team right now, and it would take an awful lot for me to change my mind right now on that.
Just a reminder, as he says in his words perfectly, defense drives his team. So for all the times that we're all scratching our heads saying, why are they not giving up something, what everybody seemed to want in return is one of those defensemen. And I just think that we're seeing the mindset of David Poile, that he would rather be patient, he would rather continue to grow the way he's grown to get to this point, than mortgage what he thinks is the most important aspect of this team, which is the defenseman.
Well, and 3D did this in the last hour of the show on Friday, and it's that they went with Matias Ekholm. I mean... I don't know which one is the fourth best defenseman in the group. Like, they're all so good. So if you went with Matias Ekholm or any of them, I mean, are you trading one of those four guys for Matt Duchene? And the experts we've had on the show say no. You and I both say no. And David Poile has said no. So yeah. It seems pretty clear. It seems pretty – we're all in agreement that getting rid of one of those four guys is a non-starter. And I think that's the way it should be when you've got those four guys locked up for as long as they've got them locked up for, which is at least another 2 years. They're going to re-sign Ellis, which gives them at least 3 or 4 years with all four of these guys locked up and playing together. That's four different seasons or five different seasons even on some of their contracts that you could make a run at a cup. So I think standing firm. I mean, at that point, PK Subban will be 32 years old. That's still
hockey prime.
This is the next 5 years of his. They're all entering their prime. So I think. Keeping all these guys in their primes together, I think it's invaluable, and I think Poile has done – I like the idea of, hey, we're not going to go trade one of these guys to go get a center that even if he's young and talented, it's just not worth it to us. So I we're all on board with David Poile saying we will not negotiate with terrorists.
And remember one of the free agents we mentioned the other day that could be a key addition to this team would be Joe Thornton, should they be able to convince him to come play here. Thornton's 37, and we're talking about him as a key addition possibility, would be 38 when the season starts. So 32 for Pekka, or not for Pekka, for PK, 32 is nothing. So speaking of David Poile, one of the things that he did over the weekend was make some really strong, definitive statements about how this team is being built and his approach on all of it. We want you to hear that. We'll do that next up. Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. We've got a lot of stuff we're going to get you into over the course of the morning. Don't forget Corey Promen from ESPN NHL. We quoted him earlier talking about the steal of the draft being the Preds' first-round draft pick, Ellie Tolvanen. He called him the steal of the draft. We'll hear from Corey at 7:30.
That's a nice compliment.
It's going to be fantastic. But we got some college football we're going to dive into in the 8 a.m. hour. Ooh. And then Andrew Brandt from Monday Morning Quarterback, too, going to join us at 9:30. So we got a lot of different stuff we're going to get to today. But we're getting you all caught up on the Preds draft situation over the weekend, and we're doing it in the most honest way we can, which is to remind you, you won't get to see most of these guys play, and you're going to be relying on experts that have seen them to sort of tell you who can contribute.
Jeremy Gover.
Right.
Check out Jeremy Gover's Twitter account at GoverTime, and then at the game and thegamenational.com. Great breakdowns on all the prospects that were taken.
So the most interesting and compelling part of the draft to us wasn't even just the players that were taken. It was the strategy that was taken, because that's what we all wanted to see coming in. And it created the exact ripple effect we talked about on Friday. Now that we've seen the strategy here, everybody's going to scratch their head and figure out what the strategy looks like at free agency. But through all of it, what we know is that David Poile has made it clear he has a way that they want to address this team. And it's not, as we thought, maybe through trades. It's not through some mega deal yet. Right now, his focus is on getting the guys in the organization that can help for the future. This is Poile talking about his strategy.
First of all, we learned so much about our organization at the end of the year and in the playoffs. Unfortunately, due to some pretty critical injuries, you know, players that were playing in Milwaukee, like Pontus Aberg, Frederick Gaudreau, they actually played very well in the playoffs, and they had some really impact on our team. So now, you know, sort of the, what should we do? Should we go outside the organization to try to replace the James Neal, or should we give that ice time, maybe not directly to Pontus Aberg, but maybe Kevin Fiala moves up in the lineup from almost a third line position to a second line position. Maybe Frederick Gaudreau, who we may not have penciled in on our lineup, maybe he starts on the fourth line on our team next year. So I'm kind of weighing that against some of these possible trade opportunities. And also the third aspect would be on July 1st, we start free agency. And as we know, everything's free in free agency. I sort of am sarcastic at that, because usually you pay a lot for that. But, you know, there's just a lot of moving parts right now. And as you say, I think we have a really good nucleus on our team. I mean, we know our goaltending set with Pekka and Saros. We know our defense is set exactly how we had it last season. And our forwards, we've lost Neil. I've got to talk to Mike Fisher in the next little while to see if he's going to be coming back, or, you know, we might have to find a player to replace Mike Fisher. So that's where we are today, and we'll be back at it on Monday.
That's David Poile talking to Willie Donick. Some great stuff over the weekend, if you missed it. Willie and Jeremy Gover, you mentioned, both did some great work up at the draft, talking to David Poile about the strategy and approach. And, man, it really sounds like the playoff run. We talked about what it did for discovering new fans and what it did for discovering the city as a hockey city. And we talked about what it did for discovering Nashville for so many people. Well, I think within the organization, it sure as heck sounds like Poile is saying, hey, it was also a moment of discovery for us. We've discovered we have some things lined up for the future that we saw in the playoff run that we're willing to rely on.
Yeah, and I think you and I talked about this last week, saying who's going to step into James Neal's shoes? Kevin Fiala is a good choice. Who could be that fourth-line centerman? Frederick Gaudreau seems like to be that guy. I mean, those are two guys he mentioned specifically. Pontus Aberg being a starter potentially on the third line or whatever it may be alongside Colton Sissons, something we've talked about. So, hey, maybe we're not as dumb as we look. No. I mean, maybe that's what this is. No, those are all pretty logical sort of steps.
Poile's listening to our show. That's what it comes down to. David, you're welcome. So just send a basket of fruit.
But still continue to make your own draft picks, because we cannot even pronounce their names.
Yeah. That's a fair point.
So no, I think those are pretty logical steps. Now he also, in a lot of interviews this week, weekend, also said we're still going to try to go out and acquire a top six forward. So there is still an effort to go out and get a top six forward. And I think, you know, what does that do to the future of Cali Yarncroke? I think David Poile in a perfect world would prefer to have Cali Yarncroke playing on the wing on one of these lines, and they go out and get a second line centerman. They're just not easy to find. You can't go get one. So there's a good chance that the centerman down the line, and there's an update. They're going to talk with, by the way, do we need to pour one out for Julian's homie, Vern Fiddler? Poile said Vern Fiddler not going to be back with the team.
I'm sorry,
P.A. Parenteau not going to be back with the team. I know that one doesn't sting as much, but Vern Fidler not coming back. And then they'll reach out to Fish, I think, this week and have a conversation at some point this week. So, no Vern Fidler, man. Sorry,
dude. Follow me here for a second, too, because in the trade approach, we didn't see a trade happen in the moment. But stick with me here. I was talking to an NFL coach a few years ago, right? And he was he's a quarterback coach at the time. And he was telling me how part of his job when he got that job was not just to look at the existing quarterback, but to look at the next three draft classes, the next two with an emphasis, and look at it and say, okay, when is the next quarterback coming out that we would be interested in taking? And if you can't identify that in the next draft, you identify it in the year after. So he was making the point to me that there are times that they would go into the draft and the whole world is saying they need a quarterback. And they knew they needed a quarterback. But the fact is, they liked quarterback options better the following year. So if that's the case, it affects their draft strategy. Stick with me here. You're going into this situation for David Poyle where you're trying to set for the future and you're trying to win right now. Is it possible that they were really – like I don't know that the trade window is closed. I mean, I still think that next year's draft picks could be dangled at some point if they did the same – if the NHL system follows the NFL system, they may have looked at this draft and the next draft and said, hey, we can get more pieces that we need right now. Another example, you've got a guy falling to 30 that most people projected to be a top 10 pick. It doesn't mean that there weren't trade discussions, but then you're sitting there saying, man, this guy fell – I want this guy. So you draft for the future, and now that you've gotten through this stage, now you aggressively hit the trade market. I don't think the trade situation scenario is done just because we're through this draft. I think that next year's draft picks could be leveraged too.
No, I totally agree. In fact, I think one of the Blackhawks trades had a 2018 draft pick involved in it. So I think those picks are up for grabs next year. There's no question that teams will still offer 2018 draft picks. The key is what tier of player is he going after to get? And if he wants to – if his goal is top six winger or top six forward, let's say, where who are those guys? Where are those guys? How can you get a lower tier version of one of those guys for a cheaper cost because you're not going to touch one of your top four defensemen? I mean, there's just so many moving parts to it. I agree. I thought the trade world wasn't gonna happen for the Preds until after free agency. Obviously, they need to know what Mike Fisher is going to do, I think, too. So those things, which all tie into free agency July 1 coming up this weekend, that is where we sort of, I think, you'll have a clearer picture of what the Predators' future looks like in an effort to say, hey, what else do we need? And let's keep in mind, the trade deadline, he went out and made three trades. I mean, he went out and got three guys that eventually played roles. I mean, P.A. Parenteau didn't really play a role, but they didn't really give anything up for him. Like, what, a sixth-round pick, I think,
right,
for him? And then, Vern Fidler and Cody McLeod played big roles for this team down the stretch and even in the postseason. So there's ways to improve your team around the edges during the trade deadline or big names at the trade deadline. So I think there's a whole – all the way up from July 1 to the trade deadline in the middle of the season, David Poyle's going to be actively doing whatever it takes to make his team better.
Do want to make sure everybody knows that one of the names, all of the shows on all of the stations in the world, I think, that cover hockey have been bantering around for each of their teams. Everybody was like, you know who we're going to get this offseason that's going to make us better? I don't care what market you're in for hockey. They've come back and said, TJ Oshie. We're going to get TJ. Nobody's going to get TJ. The Capitals did re-sign him over the weekend, an 8-year deal, $46 million. He counts $5.75 million against the cap until 2024-25. So just under $6 million, TJ Oshie stays home in Washington and does not leave. He is off the market. So
I'd be willing to win no cups for that much money.
Yeah, well, I think that's fair. That's probably a fair statement. And for any of you that were squarely on the TJ Oshie's going to take care of the hole left by James Neal, sorry about your luck. That is not the way this thing's going to play out.
Matt Duchene didn't get traded, though.
Yeah, Matt Duchene did not get traded.
Sitting there.
Well, and again, that comes back to, was it a game of chicken? Because it kind of feels like there might be a game of chicken going on here, feeling like Colorado's over-asking and feeling like
– Well, there was a potential deal with the Islanders on the table, one of their top four defensemen, a prospect, and a draft pick. So that was they were asking for a top – one of their – I think it was a top two defenseman from the Islanders who's a nice young player under contract, a prospect, and a 2018 draft pick. So that's essentially what the asking price – Adam Vingan was tweeting about this. Here's a deal that could be in place for Predators fans that want to know what it could look like to acquire Matt Duchene, a center from Colorado who's 26 and under contract for 2 years, and has put up a huge numbers basically for 7 or 8 seasons in the NHL. Sort of a proven commodity, but still young. A great number two option. It feels like it's going to take a top four defenseman, and until one of the two GMs blinks, we're not trading for Matt Duchene anytime soon.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But ultimately, through the process, the Preds got a first-round draft pick that the entire national media seems to be very excited about for Nashville. Termed the steal of the draft. You'll hear from the guy that said that, Corey Pronman. We'll do that at 7:30. But coming up next, you'll hear from the actual draft pick. He sat down with Willie Donick over the weekend. We want you to hear that and hear from your newest member of the Nashville Predators. We'll do that next up. Braden and Fitz, ESPN. 102.5 The Game. Not only that, Charlie, you're listening to Braden and Fitz live from the Game Nashville studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet.
He's the best.
He is. Willie Donick, one of the best. Willie Donick and Jeremy Gover over the weekend, like we told you earlier, crushed draft coverage for the NHL right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. If you missed any of that and you want to go back and listen to it, much of it is out there. On demand, you can get to it on the app or the website, thegamenashville.com. So we wanted you to hear from Ellie Tolvanen. If you missed it, 30th pick in the first round. Ellie Tolvanen, he slipped in the draft according to many estimations. Many sites had him as a top 10 prospect. And you heard from David Poile earlier in the draft saying that earlier in the show saying that they had him on their top 10 list throughout the entire season. So when he fell to them, they had to do it. And you've heard experts say that he already automatically becomes the best forward in the farm system for the Preds. So a lot of hype around him. Willie Donick, talk to him. We want you to hear this. So this is Willie Donick talking to Ellie Tolvanen after the selection in the draft.
Ellie, thank you very much for joining us here, and welcome to the Nashville Predators.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, this has, I'm sure, been a whirlwind for you these last couple hours here, watching and waiting for your name to be called. And so always a fun question to ask. What was your first reaction when you heard your name called? And I'm sure you had a lot of people around you that you care about. What was that like?
It was kind of relief and kind of like exciting moment, same time, and be here. It's a great like I said, it's just a great feeling, and just the experience with my mom and dad and all my brothers. So I mean, it just feels unbelievable.
So if you will put the microphone a little closer to your mouth so we can hear you a little clearer. But you said you had all of your family here. They were able to make it over from Finland.
Yeah, all my two brothers and my mom and dad.
Wow, that's exciting, because you've been playing over here in North America for the last couple of years. How much have they had a chance to be around you and watch you play here the last couple of seasons?
Not that much. Actually, when I moved here 2 years ago, my mom and dad came with me. Like, they lived 4 months in USA, but I mean, after that, not much. Like, they came for World Juniors in Montreal this winter, but that's about it.
It's a big commitment that you make when you leave your home country to come over here and play. So what went into that decision? Why did you decide to come over here when you did to pursue your dream?
I mean, just to finish junior hockey wasn't good enough, and just the USHL, it's just such a great league. There's a lot of good players, and just a great hockey. I mean, I learned a lot in past 2 years. So I mean, it was just a great organization, and I mean, it's just a great play in the USHL, and just learn the kind of smaller rink game too.
Ellie, over here, the Preds fans obviously listening really want to know, because it's something that really was talked about so much during the playoffs, during the Stanley Cup final. You spoke about it at the podium. What was it like to watch the scene in downtown Nashville, seeing thousands upon thousands of fans outside being excited about hockey and obviously the atmosphere? How does that excite you, knowing you're coming to Nashville for that?
I mean, I watched those games when the Nashville played home, and I was like, one day I wish I could play there. And I mean, the whole crowd was yelling, and I mean, the atmosphere was unreal. You can feel it. I was watching the TV, and I was like kind of feeling it, and I mean, it's just unbelievable to be a part of the Nashville organization, and I mean, they have the best fans in the league. So I mean, I'm pumped.
He's already doing a great job right here. So another one of those things too is catfish has been a prominent thing. I'm sure you saw that talked about as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I did.
Are catfish in Finland? Are you familiar with catfish, the fish, or any kind of traditions like that over in Finland?
Not really. No, I'm not familiar with the catfish though. Yet. But I mean, I can do that too.
Yeah, there's time. There is certainly time for that. So Ellie Tolvanen is with us, first-round pick from the Nashville Predators. And Ellie, there's quite a history of great Finnish players for the Predators. Of course, Pekka Rinne, the headliner. Jussi Saros is a great up-and-coming player. Mika Salomaki, going back a few years, captain Kimmo Tiiminen. I'm sure you follow a lot of these guys growing up in Finland, a lot of players have come over here and made a name for themselves. Who are some of the players you enjoyed watching in Finland growing up?
When I was a little kid, Timo Selänne for sure. Like, he was a goal scorer, and I mean, just I'm a goal scorer too. I like scoring goals. So I mean, just watching Timo have a great career in NHL and score all those goals, and I mean, it was just unreal to watch him play. And I mean, Koivu brothers too. And now there's actually now a couple past 2 years, there's Laine and Aho, and it's just unbelievable to watch all those Finnish guys like being top players and you know all those teams.
Well, Timo Selänne scored a lot of goals against the Predators. I can tell you that. But the Predators have survived his career and have moved forward here. But as you mentioned, that is your skill set. You're a goal scorer. How did you learn? Where do you learn that to be a great shooter and a guy who can really, you know, shoot to score and be effective in doing that? Where'd you learn that skill?
I mean, just work hard a lot with my brothers. And I mean, after school, every day we went backyard and just shooting pucks. And I mean, just a lot of work. I put a lot of work in my shot, and I mean, that's about it.
Ellie Tolvanen is with us. Jeremy Gover has made it back over here as we do the microphone shuffle. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Ellie, what is your plans for going forward? I know, obviously, every player wants to make the team straight out of the draft and all that, but what's kind of your kind of realistic plan going forward?
I have to work on still some stuff, and I mean, just spend like 1 year somewhere else and just work on those little things and where I'm not like my weakness still, and I think I'm going to be ready at the NHL after 1 year and somewhere else.
And what was your experience like in the USHL? I mean, just because that league is really flourishing, and you were a part of that for the last 2 years.
I mean, it's a great league. There's a lot of great players, and yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of draft picks from USHL, and it's a great developing league. There's a lot of young players and great coaching staff. And so, I mean, it's cool to be a part of the USHL path.
And finally, for me at least, are you able to take in this whole experience? Is it a blur? What's the whole thing been like for you, or is it going to take a few days to really sink in?
Probably take like a couple days. I mean, just to kind of understand what just happened. I mean, this has been my dream since day one when I started playing hockey. I mean, but yeah, just to like kind of blurry still. But I mean, I think it's going to be great.
All right, now Sioux City, I'm guessing, is not a city that a lot of us in Nashville spent a lot of time. What's the best thing about Sioux City playing there?
Best thing about Sioux City, movie theater.
Movie theater, okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's $5 movies on Tuesdays. That was,
you can't beat that.
Every week we went with all the boys, and I mean, that was about it. That city, there's not much to do. I mean, there's a hockey rink, casino, and the movie theater.
Well, I'm sure you're going to have some great memories having played there. First place you go, you know, in the States is there. You'll have good memories, but hopefully there's some great memories to come in Nashville. And let me say, Ellie, you look great in gold. The brand-new jersey that you're modeling here, it's looking pretty good. Congratulations on a great night, and welcome to Nashville. Can't wait to get you into the city, check it out, and watch you play with the rest of the guys.
Yeah, thank you.
That is Willie Donick, our very own, and Jeremy Gover, both crushing it with Ellie Tolvanen, the first-round draft pick of the Nashville Predators. A little bit more to do here than just a movie theater, so there's going to be
I like that. A hockey rink, a casino, and a movie theater. What could go wrong for young players? I thought the interesting thing there, certainly he's saying all the right things, and it sounds like he's got a great attitude, and you know, I do like the Finnish tie. There's certainly plenty of those in this organization, and you heard Willie talk about it. But I think the biggest thing there is just a young kid from a European country growing up in hockey-rich environments where hockey is the world, right? I mean, hockey is such a big deal in places like Finland and Sweden and Russia and Canada and, like, these countries where it's our version of, like, the playground basketball. You know, like, everyone's out playing hockey. For him to be looking at the Predators' run and say, man, they got the best fans in the world, and it looks like a spectacular place to play, and I can't wait to be a part of it. I mean, that for the first time sounds totally genuine. Like, it's like a kid is excited about coming and seeing what Smashville is all about. I think that's just another ripple effect of what took place this past summer.
I think that's a really good point, because I think that there was a period not too long ago where the prospects knew about as much about Nashville as most fans knew about the prospects. I mean, there wasn't a lot of love, or I felt like there was more of a, yeah, you know, I've heard good things and can't wait to see it. And to have someone actually sit there and say, you know, the opposite, essentially, to say, hey, I watched it, and even on my TV you could feel the energy. That's a pretty strong statement to me.
Having just 2 years removed from this city isn't a good enough hockey city for Jimmy Vesey to play in.
Right.
Like, that's what that was. I mean, it was, I don't want to be in Nashville. It's just Nashville. It's not really a hockey town. You know what I mean? Like, I want to go into the Northeast with my brothers and my dad and my coach and all this stuff, and I want to be in a big hockey town. I want to play. And listen, is Madison Square Garden a bigger venue than Bridgestone from a prestige standpoint? Sure, there's a history there, and we can't deny that, but come on. I mean, like, you might have been wrong on that one, VZ.
Well, you know, I think that through all of it, Nashville has sort of proven itself to be more than he ever could have imagined, more than most people in that situation ever could have imagined. We've got some big news in sports to get to coming up next. Obviously, there's some hot rumors coming out about the NBA, but it affects a conversation not just about the NBA, but about all of sports and what star players really want. We're going to dive into that, and we'll do that next. You know, I made the switch. You should make the switch too. I went to Xfinity, and you know, the Wi-Fi, I've been telling you for months now, the Wi-Fi's faster. It just is. I upload and download these huge files as a musician, and it handles it better than any other Wi-Fi. But now they've upgraded it to X-Fi, so you can personalize your Wi-Fi experience. You can do it ultimate control from your tablet or your smartphone. You can even manage it from your TV with your Xfinity X-Fi app on the X1 box. You can optimize the Wi-Fi coverage to get the most coverage for your home. And on the go, you've got access to millions of Wi-Fi hotspots. Plus, you're sitting around at dinner. Nobody wants to turn off their phone. You're frustrated. You can turn it off for them. You can pause the network directly from your phone. You can stop everything so that you can have a nice family dinner. Got kids worried about content? You don't need to. You can manage different profiles to make sure that parental controls, bedtime schedules are all set so that your kids are getting to appropriate content at appropriate times. It's all right there for you. Xfinity Wi-Fi is now X-Fi, and it's got you covered. I've got an offer for you that ends June 30th, 2017. Requires enrollment, TECO bill, paperless billing. Restrictions apply. Wi-Fi claim based on Xfinity gigabyte service router coverage and speed on a 5 gigahertz band. Offer valid for new customers only. Fees extra subject to change after promo. Regular rate supply. Free installation limited to standard installation on one outlet. Non-standard installation. Equipment taxes, fees extra. Here's what you need to do. Get started with Xfinity Internet for as low as $19.99 per month for 12 months. Xfinity Internet, perfect for everyone. So be sure to call 1-800-XFINITY or visit Xfinity.com and make the switch to Xfinity today. When we come back, one of the biggest stars in the NBA may be on the move. Is his motivation the right way, or do we agree with it, and how does it apply to all of your favorite sports? We'll do that next up. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game.